I was just thinking about there's this movie called The Rookie. There's probably more than one movie called The Rookie, but the one I'm thinking about is Dennis Quaid plays the high school science teacher. It's science, right? Teacher. That he was a star baseball player and he got injured and then he's teaching and then he ends up trying out for the professional, the pros, older in life. And he's having a conversation with some of the young guns on the farm team, on the lower team. There's a language, there's a word for that that's lost me. But he ends up saying to them, do you know what we get to do today? And what's the answer? We get to play baseball. And I just had that moment sitting over there going, you know what we get to do today? We get to be together in the name of Jesus Christ, and we get to worship, and we get to pray, and you get to listen to me. I mean, what else would you want to do on a Sunday morning? And let's be honest, there are those of us who have shown up today, and it was like we walked through molasses to get out of the bed and come here. I don't know what walking through molasses really feels like, but there have been times in my life I felt like I was doing that. Maybe you showed up today because someone invited you. Maybe you showed up today because someone told you you had to be here. So whether you're excited you get to be here or you're walking through molasses, we are just grateful that you are here today and get to be a part of us in the room or online. You are a part of us as well. So I've got a question, and I'm going to ask it. Do we have any overthinkers in the room? Y'all are so much more honest than the 9 o'clock bunch. They acted like none of them overthink. So when I ask this question, you're going to start asking, going, but she didn't tell us all these things I didn't tell you. I just want you to think, I want you and the Holy Spirit to consider this question. And I'm going to give you about 10 to 15 seconds, which is going to be feel about like 15 minutes. Or either I've forgotten what I'm doing. Just take time to let the Holy Spirit answer, you and the Holy Spirit answer this question. How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? Go. The question is deeper than how are you? We say, how are you all the time? We see each other out in the hallway. How are you? I'm good. How are you? Is that accurate? Yes, we do it wherever we are. The simple question of how are you? And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that question. That is an inquisitive, checking on people question. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. And yet the question, how is it with our soul, is deeper. How is it with your soul? You may have showed up and you're in your seat, you're doing the deal, and you are heartbroken. You are empty. You are joyful. You are peaceful. Like, all of that is true. This question is at the heart of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ and as Methodists. We are in the midst of a series called Awakened, John Wesley and the Methodist Movement. Now, we remember, we do not worship John Wesley. He, like us, was flawed. He was human. And yet, he is the founder of the movement that we still get to be a part of today. And the question, how is it with your soul, goes all the way back to the 1700s and to John Wesley and the Methodist movement. Let's establish one thing about being Christians. Christianity is not a solo sport. We got any folks who watch golf or play golf or try to play golf? All right, you're in good company, right? So Jordan Spieth, who he won a bunch a couple of years ago. He's still playing. He was on yesterday when I was watching. I remember Jordan Spieth when he was winning tournament after tournament. He almost won the Grand Slam that one year. And when he would talk about what he had done, he always referenced we. Now, golf seems to be a solo sport. And yet, a professional golfer was acknowledging that even in the solo sport of golf, how he needed a team around him to do what he does. Christianity is absolutely no different in the sense of we are created. Like, look at Genesis. Genesis 1 talks about how we are created in the image of God. We are created for relationship with God. That isn't that you're an introvert or an extrovert. That's not it. It's that at our core, we are created for relationship with God. And Genesis also shows us how we are created for relationship with each other. That's when the introvert-extrovert thing comes in. Introverts are like, I do better by myself. I know. And yet, that's not how we're created. We are created with a relationship. I understand we're not all created to be in big groups of people all the time. I get that. But we are created for relationship. When we think about John Wesley and the first rise of Methodism, that took place in the 1700s. John Wesley was mentoring a group with his brother Charles and a couple of other guys. They were at Oxford. They were known as the Holy Group. They were known as the Methodists. That's where Methodist comes from, because of the methods they engaged in the small group they were part of. They studied scripture routinely, weekly. They prayed together. They took Holy Communion together. They served together. They started by visiting prisoners in Castle Prison. And if you read Wesley's writing about what he believes about God and who we are and what we are created to do, at the core of it, time and time again, I was reading something this morning that wasn't even connected to what I'm talking about today, but it was Wesley. It for him, it always came back to the greatest commandment, love God, love others. The significance of being in a group, in a relationship with others, is so we can love God and love others. We are looking at the significance of doing life together today, and we're going to look at the why, the how, and the what. The why of living life together is found in the greatest commandment. It's because it is a method, it is a way for us to live out loving God and loving others. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others as yourself. That's our why. Oftentimes when we think, so are you in a group? Are you in a small group? We often go to the what. We start saying what group it is. No, we start with the why. Why are you in a group? Why do you have a group of people that you can answer the question, how is it with my soul? It's because we're created for relationship with God and with others. And because it's how we live out the greatest commandment. The book of Hebrews speaks to the significance of meeting together. It may be a scripture you're familiar with. To give you a little context, the book of Hebrews, we're not exactly sure who wrote it, but what we are pretty sure of is the audience who it was being written to. And it was a group of Jewish Christians, and they were being persecuted. This is my opinion. You can agree or disagree. But I really think, as 21st century Christians living in the United States of America that we really have absolutely no idea what persecution means. I do not know about you all, but to this point in my life, I have never been threatened by death because I worship God. I didn't think about it when I backed out of the driveway this morning going, I need to look, is someone watching me, someone following me? I didn't do that. But for this group in which this book of the Bible is written for, they were being persecuted. And so some of them had stopped meeting together out of fear. And this is what it says in Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. In the scripture speaks to the significance in our lives today and why we should meet together. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love. You hear that? Love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other. We need to meet together. It says in scripture, iron sharpens iron. Like, we need to do it. We need each other. And I'm going to make a statement that we can discuss later whether you agree or disagree with this part of the statement. But we can't be Christian by ourselves. How do we love God and love others when we're isolated? We need each other. And there are barriers to doing life together. As I have mentioned, being part of a group or doing life together, some of you all have been sitting there going, no way. Not doing it. I tried that before. It didn't go well. You see, our fear can be a barrier to doing life together in community. We're afraid. Is it safe? Can I be honest? We have fears. I was a part of a group, gosh, I don't know, it was probably 15 years ago in a church setting. And not once did I ever share in that group that recovery is a huge part of my life. Because it didn't feel safe. I heard how the group talked about other groups of people. And my perception was it wasn't safe. Have you ever been in a group where it wasn't safe? And then that has been your barrier to being in other groups. We're awfully human. I don't know if that's the best word to use. We are incredibly human. We're going to let each other down. If you're looking for the perfect group and the perfect people, like, we're not perfect. And fear can be a barrier. Fear of being transparent, of truly answering the question, what if they find out my soul's not joyful and all excited right now? What happens then? And that becomes a barrier. Another barrier to us being in groups and living life together and being in spaces where we can answer the question truthfully, how is it with our soul? It can be that we're doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good by myself. Why would I even do that? It's going pretty well. Remember, sin is insidious. Sin is a slippery slope that begins with this, I'm doing good, I need nobody, I got this, to how did I end up in the ditch? I didn't see it coming. It's because we're not in groups, we're not in spaces where we can truthfully answer the question, how is it with our souls? And another potential barrier to being in a group where you can answer the question, how is it with your soul? It can be consumerism. Do we have any consumers in the room? Yeah. When I order a salad at a restaurant, it goes like this, pretty much. No onions, no cheese, but maybe blue cheese dressing. I know, there's irony in that. You see, I know what I like. I've been doing this gig a while. I know what I like to eat. And so at times we can approach our faith journey the way we do everything else in our lives. It becomes what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And there's some truth to that. We have schedules to consider. Yet is our main focus on getting exactly what we want, or is it this overarching why? I got to find some place where I can love God and love others. So there are barriers. Why? Because why do we choose to do life together? Because it's what we're called to do. Yes, there are barriers. Yet how? The how of, and I love the word in Hebrews, not all, some translations say provoking, but how it says spurring one another. Can't you just see it, spurring one another? Like pushing each other. Gosh, I need those people in my life that spur me on. Sometimes I need them to spur me on. You know, that spurring us on to love and good deeds. It's deeply rooted in who we are as Methodists. As I shared about the first rise of Methodism, how Methodism developed in the 1700s, remembering Methodism was not a denomination initially. It was a movement. It was a movement. And John Wesley, as it grew, what happened was it developed this system of groups. And I'm going to use the language, the top tier. That's probably not the most effective. But if you look at it kind of as a structure, the top tier was called societies. And these were groups of folks. It was mixed gender. It was mixed marital status. It was mixed ages. They gathered in societies. About 100 people would gather weekly in these societies. And they would listen. There would be preaching, teaching, and singing and prayer. Those are where Charles Wesley's first hymns were sung. And so you were part of this society and you gathered and we're like, good, we know how to do that. But a requirement, listen to this, a requirement of being part of the society was you had to be a part of a class. Not a class that we think where we show up and someone teaches us and I'll call it sit and get. That's what we used to call it in education. That's not what a class was in this context. It was 12 people, mixed gender, mixed ages, And they would meet, but there was no Bible study. They had to answer a question. Guess what it is? How is it with your soul? And so the facilitator, the leader, they'd go around and answer, how is it with your soul? And then they would answer if over the week they had done no harm. Think about it right now. Have you done harm over the past week? Can you imagine you showed up and you had to answer that question? Have you done good? Have you tended to the ordinances, which the ordinances are, have you been in scripture both personally and in a collective setting? Have you been in prayer individually and in a collective setting? Have you taken communion? Have you given to the poor? Like every week, they were accountable and the leader had to know how the group was going and then they had to report on that. That was the group structure. This whole small group thing that we look at over the past couple of decades in churches, it's not new. It's been going on. There was a third component to the structure, and this part wasn't required. Only about 25% of Methodists would participate in this part. This part was called a band. It was 3 to 5 people, same gender. And the band would dig a little deeper, and it was accountability. It was questions of confessing your sin. Are you at a place? Are you part of a group? Or do you have a relationship with at least one other human being where you can answer the question, how is it with my soul? Truthfully, vulnerably, authentically. And is that a place you can confess your sin? Because sometimes sin can be interesting because we can say, well, I'm not committing adultery, I'm good. Or I hadn't committed murder. And all of a sudden, I'm better than. And yet, within my life, there are this insidious sins that are taking place that are building upon each other. We got to have those spaces where we can be transparent and authentic. So we have the why, we have the how, and now here's the what. For each of us, whether we're in the room or we're online, the question is, the what is take the next step in connecting to a group that meets together, that spurs, I want to think about that, spurs each other on to love and good deeds and encourages. Gosh, our world can be harsh. Do you have a place where you're encouraged? Not just some people saying, you are the greatest person ever, but a place that can say, Brooke, I love you so much, and I'm going to spur you on a little bit. I'm going to encourage you. Now, we have opportunities here within this community of faith. We have a booklet. It's a catalog. It's almost like a college catalog. It can be overwhelming. But it's a place to start. Are you a part of a group? And you can be a part of a group that's outside of here. It could be, where is it that you are connecting with other people where you can answer the question, how is it with my soul? And for folks who are in groups currently, I want you and your group to consider answering the question, how is it with my soul within your group? Is that a thing that you can do within your group? And is your group spurring each other on? Are they encouraging each other? We need to take inventory of the groups in which we are in. If you're looking for a group, we call them grow booklets, or at the information center where you can find a place. It's not a marriage proposal. In other words, if you're like, I'm afraid to show up because I may not like it and then I'm not going to come back. Our group leaders know that. They are aware that you may try different things. And you may even come to me and say, Brooke, I didn't find anything. And I'll go, okay, we're going to work on this together. We're going to find something. Or we're going to create something. Being connected to one another is a part of who we are. It's who our God created us to be, with Him and with others. We need a place of honesty and truthfulness where we can love God and love each other. It's deeply in our roots as Methodists, and there are ways for us to connect today. Don't miss it. This may sound dramatic, or it may sound like I'm just trying to preach you up. But when I reflect on my life, I don't think I'd be here on multiple levels if it was not for being part of groups where I could answer the question, how is it with my soul? I don't think I would be at Concord. I don't think I would be in ministry. In fact, there's a layer that I'm not sure I'd even be here at all. But gosh, those spaces where we get to be truthful about where we are and whose we are, it's transformational. What's your next step? It's time to take it. In groups, it's time to take inventory. Man, isn't this a great place to be? Seeking what is next through our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, thank you that you created us for you and for others. And we confess that there are barriers to us taking next steps. And as I pause for a moment, we're going to lift up those barriers in our lives to you. We're going to confess them to you in this moment. And we're also going to commit to you what our next step is in living a life together with others. So, Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you that you take what we offer. We commit that we are going to seek to live the next thing with you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, for the depths of your love and grace. Into your hands, may your will, not our will, be done. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Concord United Methodist Church. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United, and we would love to hear from you. To contact us, please send an email to podcasts@concordunited.org with sermons in the subject line. For more information about Concord United, including worship times, service opportunities, mission efforts, and classes, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to download and enjoy our daily devotional podcasts presented by the pastors and members of Concord United. Finally, we would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and a review of this podcast so that others can discover it and benefit from it.